The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Aisling Larkin is with me, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach. Aisling, what are we looking at this week?
We're talking about something that's very seasonal. We're going into foraging season, spring. So we hear a lot of this time of year about wild garlic. We're actually not going to talk about wild garlic.
Okay.
We're talking about something that people often confuse with wild garlic, which is three-cornered leeks, part of the onion family Allium. Okay. So we're going to talk about that today.
Okay, so what are three-cornered leeks?
So they grow wild. Forage them. So
this is them in the bag?
This is them. So have a little look, right? So they've got a long green stem.
Grass. Tubular
stem.
Grass.
It kind of does look like that. But they have these beautiful little flowers on top. So they're almost like white bluebells, for want of a better word.
Mm.
They've got this little kind of white line down the flowers of them. They're native, I suppose, Mediterranean. They originally came from the Mediterranean.
Oh.
Brought to the UK in about the 18th century. Then came over to Ireland. So they're not native. They're non-native, but they've been naturalised in terms of a plant in Ireland. But something really interesting about them, actually, they're considered to be a legally restricted invasive plant.
Oh, are they?
Which means that, according to the county councils, you cannot go and plant them anywhere. You can also not dispose of them anywhere because they grow like wildfire.
Okay.
Perfect for your garden. Lovely to have them this time of the year. We see them a lot.
But you're not meant
to
plant them in your garden. If you have them in your garden.
Plant them in your garden is fine. Just plant them outside your own garden.
Oh, right. Okay. You can plant them in your garden.
Yeah.
So it's not, they're not quite Japanese knotweed.
No, we're not quite at that level just yet. But they do grow and they invade like natural wild habitat.
Okay.
But when you get them and you know how to cook with them and use them, they're fabulous. They're really, really nice. So like I said, they're part of the onion family. And it's mad when you walk by them this time of year, you'll get this kind of like pungent oniony smell. Sometimes I like compare it to almost someone opening a bag of like cheese and onion crisps.
Yeah.
It's like that as you walk by and it's like, what is that smell? And wild garlic kind of has the same smell. So the difference, I suppose, being is this is a long stem and we're using the stem, we're using the flowers, we're using everything. Whereas wild garlic, it's a much flatter, broader leaf. So obviously one is kind of more onion, one is more garlic.
Okay.
But a lot of times you hear people say, oh, wild garlic. This is what you're looking at. And I will post a picture on my Instagram.
So a lot of people who think they're looking at wild garlic in the hedgerows
are looking at three-cornered leeks.
Three-cornered leeks.
So, as I said, they're part of the onion family. They act and behave very like kind of an onion. So we've kind of got things like onion, garlic, leek, shallot, scallion. So think of that family. And they work really, really well within that family. So there's so much delicious things you can do when you can get them at this time of year.
What are they good for? Like in terms of health and nutrition and all of that?
So that whole Allium onion family, it's a real kind of double-edged sword. We eat so many of them. Like, they're so common in all of our foods. So you take any kind of culture. A lot of, most dishes will start with this, like, holy trinity of celery, onion, garlic, or onion, garlic, red peppers, or garlic, chili, onion, ginger, depending on what cuisine you're cooking with. So we get them in so often. They have something called organol sulfur in them. So this is why all of these family of plants have this sulfur kind of smell, which is that pungent, savoury, oniony kind of smell that we actually love. And then in terms of the nutrition of them, they have lots of things. So we've often spoken about things like phytochemicals, polyphenols, flavonoids. So these are those small little trace elements. So we get caught up in the macro sometimes, things like the proteins, the fats, the carbohydrates. And we forget actually that these little guys, these little phytochemicals are working so hard for us. So quercetin is one of them that's really common in onions. And it all comes back to this anti-inflammatory properties that they have. So when we talk about oxidative stress on the body, we want to always protect against that. These little guys that are in these onions, garlic, shallots, chives are always doing that.
How do you harvest them? Just pull them up from the bottom?
Yeah, so leave the root in place. So anytime you're going foraging for anything, never take the root. Always take them from the hedgerows. Never go on anybody's land that you shouldn't be on without permission. You're going to snip them from the bottom and then don't just take from one clump. You'll see them. They grow in long lines. So take a little here, a little here, a little here and kind of walk up a little bit and try and pick them from the top as opposed to the bottom because there's lots of doggies out walking and you want to be careful that they're not urinating on the ones on the bottom.
That's a bit of flavour.
Pick them from higher up and wash them really, really well when you get home. And then it's about cooking with them, I suppose.
Yeah, so how do you cook with them and what have we cooked today?
So the most obvious thing I would tell you to do is a pesto, right? So classically an Italian pesto is basil. You start with a pine nut, so your nuts are normally pine nuts. You've got your Parmesan cheese and you've got your garlic in there. You don't have to stick to that. And actually, that form of making pesto at home can be a little bit expensive. Pine nuts are quite pricey. Mm-hmm. Parmesan is pricey. Basil is like expensive enough. So This is kind of a more sustainable, use it all up seasonal version where I've taken the three-cornered leeks, sliced them all up into the food processor. You can pop in a little bit of rocket or a little bit of spinach if you want, kind of any of those leaves that are hanging around. If you have a couple of herbs, things like basil, parsley, chive.
Now, sorry, dill. When you say the three-cornered leek is going in, the stem, the leaf?
Both, really.
All right, okay.
Primarily the stem. Stem and the leaf are going in. So what I do is I keep the flowers for garnishes.
Okay.
Because they're incredibly pretty. They're beautiful. So pop those in. And then instead of using pine nuts, use something like a sunflower seed.
Okay.
Full of nutrition, like really nutrient dense and so incredibly cheap. What I did is I've done it with walnuts. Really, really nice walnuts. Oh, walnuts are amazingly good for our brain. You could do it with a really nice hard Irish cheddar cheese or a sheep's cheese as well.
Okay.
So like when you think about pesto, don't think about what the components are, but absolutely vary it up.
And is that really the pesto here?
So what I did with this one is, this is the pesto mixed with mayonnaise.
Oh, right.
So have a taste of that on its own first. It is beautiful. Mm. What happens is kind of the richness of the fattiness of the mayonnaise balances out the kind of the pungent kind of fresh, bright taste, and you get this lovely rounded flavour.
Oh, it's delicious.
So, will I tell you what we've used that for? Like, make a jar of that, have it. Imagine that on a little chicken sandwich. Like, it would just be delicious in a salad. We've done a little canapé today. So, I have crispy fried polenta topped with the wild garlic or three-cornered leek, mayonnaise, and a little bit of smoked salmon and a little olive on top, and it's garnished with one of the little flowers. They're really dainty. They're very beautiful. And we actually spoke about polenta only last week with the lamb, and actually, such great reaction to that. So I wanted to kind of, if somebody goes out and buys an ingredient, I hate the thing of them having it sitting in the cupboard all week. So it's really nice to kind of use it up another way. So last week we had the polenta kind of creamy like a mashed potato. So this is polenta, 1 cup of polenta, 2 cups of water. Keep stirring it until it's all combined, until it's not grainy. It takes about 15, 20 minutes in the saucepan. You basically line a little tray with cling film, flatten it down, chill it overnight, then cut out little squares, little rounds, and then fry it in a little bit of oil and butter. Aren't they delish?
They're delicious. And like, the mayonnaise is key, I think, isn't it?
It brings it all together.
You might be kind of overdoing it on the savoury front. You know, with the olive and everything.
Yeah.
That's what balances out.
Totally.
So good.
Brings it all together. It's really lovely. So, like, you've got the pesto on its own, which you could pop on, or, think mixing it with
just
the mayonnaise.
Just eat about 5 of them.
But they are. They're so tasty. And they're those little canapé ones. So I think if you were having a little, you know, when the weather eventually gets nice, summer party, I would save that recipe.
But you could put that in a sandwich.
That's it.
That mayo.
That's it.
That is so good.
Have it in little, like you see me, like I wash out jam jars and I just store them in old jam jars at home. Yeah. So it's nothing fancy, but it's really lovely. Pea soup.
All
right. One of my favourite soups. I love pea soup and it's so underrated. And I think it's one of those perfect opportunities that when you're at home and you're looking for something savoury to go to sandwich.
No soup spoons in News Talk. Did you notice that when you're in the butler drawer?
Yeah.
Some people, it's surprising, you can kind of divide the world on people who get uptight about soup spoons and people who think, can't understand why people are uptight about soup spoons.
Are you uptight about soup spoons?
I am uptight about soup spoons.
Are you?
I think you're meant to have, you should not eat soup with a dessert spoon. It drives me mad.
I've done so well. And
anyway,
then the final furlong, she falls because she didn't have a soup spoon. So we've got pea soup.
That's so good.
With the either wild garlic or the three-cornered leek pesto stirred through and crispy smoked bacon on top. It's just gorgeous. And Kieran, it is so easy to make. Like, look for a good bag of peas in the supermarket. What constitutes a good bag of peas? If they say on the front that they're frozen within like 4 hours kind of a thing, six hours. So it's that quick freeze is what you're looking for. That is peas. Don't even use measurements. Cover them with stock. I love chicken stock, actually, if you're not going fully plant-based or veggie stock. Just cover them until they're simmering. Simmer them 4 or 5 minutes in a food processor. Couple of those, bunch of those, three-cornered leeks in there, or chives, if you wanted, or wild garlic, or the pesto. And even regular pesto that you buy at home, like in the supermarket. Put that in, blitz it up, finish it with a little bit of cream, and that's it. And then crisp up your smoky streaked bacon, crispy bacon on top. I mean, it's a winner. You could have put a bit of Parmesan on there, but I didn't.
So good. Despite the spoon, dessert spoon that I'm having my soup with.
You're getting over it. You're all right.
Like a Philistine.
But it's lovely. It's so fresh, isn't it? And it's bright.
Anyway, that is really good.
Yeah,
really, really,
really
good.
Nice. Yeah. It's a lovely one. The other one we have is pesto pasta. So, like I said, made
classic.
Pesto, a classic.
Many mornings in our house. My kids go to school with pesto pasta a lot of the time.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's a real winner. And again, it's just, I suppose, and particularly with kids, right? If you're serving up the basil pesto all the time.
It's slightly less fancy looking than this, what they get sent off to school with penne and just a truckload of pesto.
But it works. Yeah. It works. And if you can sneak in a little veggie and into this, you know what I love at this time of year to put in is broad beans. Now, I buy them frozen in the supermarket. They come in a little pod. You boil them just like regular peas. Pop them out of, it's almost like a kind of a milky white pod or a shell they have. Pop it out and then put your broad beans in, put your peas in, stir through your pesto. And I made this fully plant-based. So a lot of people, if you're maybe swapping dairy for a plant-based alternative, cream can be a difficult one to find. But there's a soy-based cream, and Elm Lee, actually that brand, do a beautiful plant-based cream. It's really, really good if you're looking for an alternative.
So that's what that is.
And that's, so that's made on plant-based cream, yeah. You've got your three-cornered leek pesto, you've got your lovely tagliatelle, broad beans, peas, and then I finished it off with a little bit of a soft goat's cheese on top. So it's really spring, it's really vibrant, it's really fresh. It does take a little bit of salt just to kind of season it up and flavour it. I mean, you put that in as you kind of go through and it just brings everything together. A little bit of lemon zest in there would be really nice as well, but it's delish.
Very fresh flavour.
It's lovely. Yeah. It's really, really nice. It's bright and it's fresh, I suppose. And look, I know we spent a lot of the day kind of talking about the onions and the onion family and the recipes with the three-cornered leek, but it's so in season at the moment. It's actually much more common, they say, down south and southeast. So I just seem to have an abundance of it.
Oh, really?
Everywhere at the moment, yeah. But keep your eyes peeled for it. Like I said, I'll put a picture up. Some people, though, and I suppose it's the flip side, as we said at the beginning, this double-edged sword, have intolerances to onions. So they find it very, very difficult to eat onions. It can cause kind of bloating, cramping, wind, digestion. So it's kind of linked to this FODMAP diet. So FODMAP, fermentable oligosaccharides, monosaccharides, disaccharides, and polypols.
And they can't eat them, or they shouldn't. It doesn't
they
agree
shouldn't,
with them.
So it doesn't agree with them. So it causes kind of like that digestive irritation, I suppose.
It's tough, isn't it? It's in so much.
It is.
You're going out, even.
It is. It is. So I've brought something, right? And I discovered this a couple of years ago, and particularly for me and for the amount of cooking that I do for people and everything. And I want to show it to you because I think it's a really good one to know about. Asafoetida. Asafoetida.
Okay.
It's an Indian spice, I suppose by origin.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get you to open it and just smell it, right? So what I brought was onion powder actually as well. Yeah. I swear by my onion powder. But it's an alternative if you can't tolerate onion and garlic. It has that sulfur. So what we're, that onion, garlic, chive smell comes from the sulfur. And you're getting that pungent. What else are you getting mixed in with it though?
Kind of nearly a turmeric or a cumin in there.
And a celery almost.
Yeah.
It's random.
Yeah.
But it's really difficult to come by. The only place I found it, and like I'm sure you can order it online, but it's some of the larger Tesco's actually have it. And I haven't found it anywhere else since. So when I see it, I kind of stock up on a few always. But if I ever have to cook for somebody who can't eat onions or is
this is what you put in instead.
That's what you put in. It's a brilliant one.
Yeah,
there's a couple of other alternatives. Like you've got things like caramelize your onions really well, or your other veggies beside your onions. So things like celery, carrots, red peppers. Slow cook them, release the sugars, bring out all those flavors from them. That's really, really important. Celery salt can be another really good one. Ginger, garlic, chili, if you can, you know, if you just leave out the onions, I suppose, in that.
Yeah.
Radish can be another one that can give you an oniony flavor in a salad, if you like kind of the brightness in a salad. And then going back to those umami-based dishes, things like fish sauce, things like miso paste can work as well if you do have to avoid the onions.
All right. You might put up a picture of that as well.
I will,
this.
I'll put that on my Instagram, Aisling Larkin,
because
it's a really good one to know, and very, very few people know about it, but it can be a real saviour for people who can't tolerate onions.
Asafoetida is what it is, but at Aisling Larkin on Instagram, she put up a picture of that, and on various social channels as well, links to everything we've talked about today. Aisling, as always, thanks a million. We'll talk to you at the same time next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.